Welcome to the Desert Dirt Biker Podcast with Corndog and Eric. Hello, everyone. This is episode 52 of the Desert Dirt Biker Podcast. January 4th, 2022. We're in studio in Panaca, Nevada, and I'm sitting here with my buddy Eric. Eric, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Happy to be back. I know it was a long break and long time no see, but we love you all. Thanks for tuning in.
Happy New Year. It's we're planning on getting back on board, trying to get a little bit better schedule. We got a lot of races planned. I do. I think Eric does. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Yep.
We were chasing a lot of racing. Eric was chasing a lot of racing last year.
Too much. But man, it was pretty epic. Yeah, we raced three big series last year and had a pretty awesome year. So
yeah, and you guys came out on top on a lot of them. So
yeah, we did.
Anyways, with that note, I guess we can kind of give everybody a recap of our racing, what's going on. Which one do you want to start with? You want to start with your best in the desert?
Yeah, so finish. 2021, we won that Open Expert Championship in Best in the Desert in 2020, and we just felt like it was a little bit tainted or whatever due to all the COVID stuff and changes of dates and everything and lack of people racing and whatnot. So we decided to race Best in the Desert again in 2021 and try and back that up. And we had a lot of stiff competition, a lot of good riders and good battles out there. Anyway, we were able to wrap up the Best in the Desert Open Expert Championship again.
Who all was on your
2021.
Team?
2021. It was myself, Tyler Harvey, and Damon Bush. And then we also wanted to support the Legacy Series in their first year of the Legacy Off-Road Racing Series. Donald Jackson, those guys did a phenomenal job of putting together some just absolutely epic races in 2021. One of my favorite of the entire year was the Baja Nevada, 630 miles across the state of Nevada over 2 days. And it was just epic racing. But yeah, after this 2021 season there, we ended up wrapping up that Open Expert Championship as well. So
nice.
Super cool, super good year. A lot of big races.
Same teammates with Legacy?
So Legacy was myself, Tyler Harvey, and Chuck Harvey raced one of those races with us. So
very cool.
Damon was chasing Works last year, as well as the Best in the Desert, so he didn't do Legacy with us. But we got good plans for 2022. It's going to be me and Ty Harvey and Damon Bush racing the Legacy. I believe we're going to race the Open Pro class this year.
Nice. So Open Pro. Out, these guys are fast.
And then, of course, I raced the Baja stuff last year with a couple different teams. I got invited to go down for the Baja 500. I didn't do the San Felipe 250, so that's the only big race that I didn't do last year out of those three big series. But I did the 500 with a Mexican team out of Ensenada, a couple of fast riders down there, Ulysses Fierro and Marco Antonio. And then Taylor Stevens raced with us too. So the four of us did the 500. And then we went back for the 400, the Baja 400, myself, Tyler Harvey, and then Ulysses and Marco again. And then we put together a pretty solid team for the Baja 1000. This year it was a peninsula run, so it was the full peninsula all the way down, Ensenada to La Paz. And one of the longer races they've done down there in the history of Baja 1000, it was 1,227 miles.
Wow.
And it was a rough year. They put in a lot of rough, technical, difficult, challenging stuff. It challenged everything we had just to finish. We raced the Pro Limited class, and we had our fair share of problems. We were running good, battling for class lead for the first 250 miles. We ended up having a throttle cable failure at right around mile 200. Just a fluke deal, you know. But it was sticking open, wouldn't close, and so you'd have to manually close it, and it was giving the rider's arm pump and stuff. So we ended up swapping that right around mile 200, lost a little time. Put in a good solid ride again until about 400, where one of our riders had a pretty big get off and sustained a little bit of damage to the bike, bent radiator, popped a hole in one of the fuel lines, and didn't catch that till a little bit later into the race, where he ended up stranded on the dry lake bed. So we lost some time there fixing a fuel line and swapping out a fuel injector. And then we got things back together again and put in a solid race from 400 to 1100, where the bike ultimately died on me while I was on the bike at race mile 1100, and we ended up having some valve issues in the head of the bike, and with some good mechanics and a couple of hours, we were able to fix that and put it back together and finish. So we were 127 miles from the finish, and there was no way I was not gonna make it. If there was anything we could do to finish, we were game to try it. So anyway, it was awesome. We had an awesome season. It was tiring. It was challenged everything we had, including the pocketbook. So I was ready for a break. I haven't hardly touched the bike since I got back from Baja. I worked on it a little bit last week, just starting to prep things for next year. But yeah, we're gonna slow things down a little bit, just do legacy, and then possibly working on some stuff for Baja again next for 2022. But nothing set yet. So what about you? What's your plans? What did you do in 21, and what's your plans for 22?
21 was a challenging year on my personal side, but won't go into that. But of course, you talked me into going to that Best in the Desert, Heron Hound in Tonopah. Kicked butt fun. There.
Yeah.
I loved it. But I chased Works, the second half of Works series. And I don't know. I just have fallen in love with Works. So I plan on doing Works, chasing Works. And I'm going to try to chase SRA GP down at Glen Helen this year as well. I know there's going to be a few. Every series I want to do, and our local series too, Moran, there's a lot of conflicting dates. So there is some throwaways I'm going to be having. I did race the Mint 400 the first time. What a blast. They did step it up. I know they've had some problems in the past. Our local organization, Moran, got on board. They did the motorcycle course. They manned it. They marked it. They tore it down. Proud of them. Proud to be associated with them.
Yeah, that's good. I know I've been vocal in the past about the Mint 400. Just, you know, I had a couple bad experiences there. And I'm glad that Moran stepped in and was able to pull it off and kind of give them a, you know, a new light and kind of turn things around a little bit. Glad you guys had a good time. And it should be a great race. It's an iconic race that's, you know, has deep roots in the history of our sport. And I'm happy to hear that Moran was able to kind of give it a good go.
Yeah, we had our Moran meeting last night, and it looks like they're wanting Moran to do it again as well this coming March again. So I hope they can work that out, because it made the difference, I believe. Nothing against everybody else that's done it. Just it's our backyard. It's what we do.
Yeah, if anybody could pull it off, it's Moran. Moran, you know, definitely these guys know how to put on races, and I've been doing it for a long time. Ran's a great series, and I just hope they're getting the benefit from it as well, because you know, the Martelli promoters and whatnot, they have a history of being in it for themselves. So hopefully Moran's getting paid and getting taken care of.
It was like days after and the check was already there.
That's good.
I can attest to that. As far as my experience at the Mint, got a crazy idea to race it. Got my brother to come in from Georgia. I got the other Dave Martin, Happy Dave, to be on the team. And he just barely turned 50. We raced the over 50 class, so he was just a week or two into his 50s.
Isn't that awesome, racing with family? I know me and my brothers did a Moran Night Series 1 year together, and we did all the night races together. And that was one of the funnest seasons I've had racing, was just racing with family.
It was great.
Yeah.
So
that's cool.
Me and Eric and me prepped the bike, you know, weeks into it or days before or whatever. Then Eric got called off to somewhere and I finished up. And, anyway, my brother flew in from Georgia and, he got sick. I don't know if it was allergies or sick or cold or what, but we pretty much put him to bed at my sister's house for 3 days and would drag him to contingencies and signups and tech and then the parade and the parade was cool. I got to say, you start at one end of Las Vegas Boulevard and you ride to Fremont Street, Cashman Field, or it's not Cashman Field, but on the other side of Fremont. And the hundreds and hundreds and thousands of people lined up on Las Vegas Boulevard watching the bikes, buggies, trucks, rescue. I can't even put it in words. It was just phenomenal. And then through tech, well, that started when we checked in, a little mishap with the helmet issue.
So what happened there?
So we checking in our gear. You have certain things you have to have. A light on the back fender. It's a dirt bike. Okay. I went and bought a $10 Walmart bicycle light. Got it hooked up. Had to have some sort of a first aid kit in your fanny pack on your person. So we made up a little pack for that. And I get it. And it was all in the rule book. Just, I guess, been doing it so long, just assumed. And then the helmet. I have a $700 Fly top of the line helmet. It's good with every organization. And they would not pass it. It's not a Snell helmet. It looked like we almost got it passed and then not. There was a lot of people upset. There really was. Playing devil's advocate, it was in the rule book. We just didn't read the rule book, but you would figure your helmet is good. It should be good. It's top of the line.
Yeah, the Mint is the only organization that I know of that requires a Snell specific helmet, not and or the ECE or DOT or, you know,
right,
these other regulating or safety companies or safety certifying, you know.
From what I heard afterwards or throughout the grapevine or the whole ordeal, is it was written in the insurance by the insurance company. Whether it was pre-read or not, they were mostly going off of trucks and buggies. I hope that's something that can be changed. On that note, me and my brother had to run down to the local shop along with a lot of other people. I think we bought every Snell helmet out in Vegas. But on a side note, the helmet I bought has fit my head better than any helmet I've ever had on. And nothing against my other brands. I loved them. I don't know. So I guess
thank you. Silver lining in the whole mess. But yeah, several teams had to go down and buy brand new helmets on top of an already uber expensive entry, yeah. But like Corndog said, it was in the rules. So I guess if you didn't read the rules, that's on you. But at the same time, I think they need to address that because, you know, some of the best helmets on the market aren't Snell approved. Right. And that's just the way it is. And, you know, all these other organizations are able to understand that and pull it off. And I think it's just a wording mishap where they had, it will be Snell approved as opposed to it will be Snell approved or ECE or, you know, DOT or the other regulating safety companies out there. So, you know, I guess live and learn, but that's an expensive.
Yeah, it was a little more, you know, thank goodness I had the means to do it. I'm sure there were some people.
I heard of people not racing because of that. They ended up, they couldn't afford it. They couldn't do it, you know, and that sucks. That's unfortunate. But, you know, I'm a little bit critical of the Mint in the fact that this is supposed to be the top of the sport. Like, and that's kind of the beef I had with them last year and the year before when we ran into the issues where they cut us short on laps the day of the race on the start line, mind you.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. This is supposed to be the Super Bowl of off-road racing, right? I mean, the Mint 400. It's one of the iconic races. These guys got to get it together, and that's my opinion. They've got to get it right. You're paying, you know, $600 or $800 for an entry fee. You know, this is the top of the sport, guys. Get it right.
Right.
So they're learning. Hopefully they're learning. Hopefully they're taking notes. But they got to get this stuff right, or it's gonna hurt them. In my opinion.
One thing I did like about it, whether I agree with it or not, which I don't, because my other helmets were top of the line, but they stuck to their guns. They didn't back up. And I've been at other organizations where there's a problem and all of a sudden they change it. Well, you got half your guys that's already gone through tech or whatever. They dealt with it for whatever the reason was, but these guys stuck to their guns, and I give them kudos for that, I guess. But I just hope in the future they can address that and rewrite it.
And yeah, I mean, yeah. I think they need to sit down with some professionals, you know, or
some dirt bikers,
people who understand. And I think they need to really be willing to take some advice and learn from their mistakes along the way, at least, you know. Yeah, I mean, you can't fault them for not sticking to their guns. They had it in writing, and again, it was in their rule book. They just need an update of their rule book, then, in my opinion. But
yeah,
hey, everybody's got an opinion.
Right. So. Anyways, moving on to race day. We raced, I started out, just the whole experience was just phenomenal, I thought. Just, it was probably one of the biggest events I've ever been involved with.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We raced the over 50 class, over 50 sportsmen. We started on like row 21, and there was 4 bikes on each row, minus a few. And we ended up finishing 15th overall, first in class.
Cool.
It was a Grand Prix finish. My brother was on the bike getting ready to leave to go start the 5th lap. And it was dark, and we had no lights. We weren't prepared to race into the dark. And I was out at the alternate pit going to get the bike on the last leg. But apparently, I don't know who they were. Several people throughout the pits ended up with lights. The GoPro mounted lights, battery packs, little headlamps, little flashlights. My brother was loaded down. So to this day, I don't know who that was. So
yeah, that's really lucky, because that's another one of those things that the organization should have caught, that, hey, this is a 400-mile race. we're on a super technical course. Some of it's single track. And part of our tech inspection should be a headlight and a tail light, mandatory, period. You go to a score event that's, even the Baja 400, they made us run a headlight because there's a chance that in 400 or 500 miles, you're going to finish in the dark. If their cutoff time's in the dark, then you can't cut somebody off before it's dark, right? You better plan on making sure that your racers have headlights. So, and in my opinion, that's another fail on the event, on the promoters, that they didn't foresee that coming. Should have, but again, they'll learn, live and learn.
It was
next year, but
I guess the course was a little more technical the second loop, and they didn't do it as fast as they had assumed. So they ended up stopping my brother.
But even then, some of your fastest bikes didn't
get
through it. Like, you got to plan on your slowest bike. If you're the promoter, you have to plan on the slowest bike and how late will they finish and where's your
little cutoff. Coleman mini bike.
I mean, you're gonna let a 200cc Coleman mini bike race it. You know, they're probably gonna run into the dark a little bit. So, just the little things that racers, you know, promoters of dirt bikes understand, but it'll get better.
So they did stop my brother, and it was I don't know if he was a race director or what, and we had like a 25 minute lead at this point over second place, and my brother calls me how I got phone reception out where I was at, but phone rang, and he's like, what do I do? I said, well, and at that point, I didn't really know that he had lights. And I said, well, we're here to race. Let's race. He goes, well, and then the promoter guy was on the phone, super nice guy. They were on the phone with the Martellis, from what I hear. And the Martellis said, we can't call this race right now because of the history in the past. So they were running. So what they decided to do is sit there and wait for second place to show up. And it happened to be a fellow ground shaker, buddy of mine, Vance Allen. And he was on a team, so it wasn't his bike. So they decided to ask him if he wanted to go or not. And he didn't know what to do. So he was on the phone with his teammates. And what they were going to do, a gentleman's agreement. Finish. If we decided to race, they were going to let my brother go, wait 20 minutes, and then send Vance. They probably sat there for an hour, close to it. Anyway, they called the race. It was dark. They decided we're done. Safety, whatever. We've been out front all day. Nothing bad about second place or anything, but they called it. So we got first place. Thanks to Vance and I forget his teammates, but it was a good race all day. There was a couple times we were back and forth, our team. Our pit crew, I can't stress how much they were a help. It was just phenomenal. Just, I get a little tied up in my thinking and stress. Eric's seen that in Tonopah before a race. Anyways, so no problems all day long with the bike. The bike ran phenomenal. The only issue we had was one of the overflow oil lines came off, so there was oil everywhere. I guess they freaked out a little bit about that. Wouldn't know where the oil come from, and then my brother finally said, I reached down and put that back on. And then one of our bolts, grommets, came a little loose on the tailpipe, but it wasn't going nowhere. And then one of our pit guys at the main pit boss, Jake Bozart. I get in on one of the laps and he's like, man, the top of the gas can broke. We had one of those plastic quick dumps. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it all broke off and it's all inside the gas tank. And we're like, oh, crud. So there's plastics floating around in our gas tank. Good thing we have a petcock on both sides of the tank. It never gave us an issue, but somebody recorded a video. And I was watching the video a week or two later, and I'm busting up laughing. You got to put them directly over the gas tank hole, drop it straight in, and pull it straight up. Yeah, it was like he had a hose in there and just pulled it sideways and snapped the top off. And it took me a few days to tell him because I didn't want to break his heart, or because it was funny. It was funny and it didn't affect us. Anyways, I finally told him, sent him the video, and jerk sent me a new gas can in the mail. Anyway, appreciate that, Jake. I know you're going to listen to this.
Jake's a good dude.
We went back Sunday for the awards, my brother and I. Happy Dave couldn't make it. Got our first place trophy, and everybody that got first place in the bikes got a vintage old full face, old school custom painted helmet.
Yeah, those are cool. That's a really cool trophy.
That was something that'll cherish, you know, the rest of my life.
Yeah, that's neat.
We're already signed up to race in March, the Mint. Big shout out to Motorsports Medical or Motorsports Safety Solutions. They help us with that. And Dave that runs that is, you can't find a nicer guy.
Because they get Dave near Bass. Yep.
Yeah, so check them out on Instagram. They're actually in the process of getting some donations and stuff for their medical crew. And
yeah, that's what I was just going to say. I saw a post they were reaching out to the off-road community, racing community, for donations for some new equipment to help with their rescues and stuff. So those guys always give back to the sport and are just doing huge things. So if you can, go support Motorsport Safety Solutions in their venture to continue to respond to emergencies and wrecks and accidents within the off-road race community. So.
Yeah, yeah. If it wasn't for them, man, there'd probably be a lot more life lost or more serious injuries, because they're on it. And they're not only medical. They pull the broken vehicles out. They
extrication, fire, retrieval. Rescue, everything, yeah. But, yeah, they do a phenomenal job. So, thanks, Dave.
And they're all, most of them are volunteer, and they have hundreds on their team.
Yep, huge volunteer efforts.
So. They do it for our race, the Ground Shakers race. They do it for Best in the Desert, Legacy. They do other racing events. Just test. What do they call that?
Vehicle testing for new vehicles.
Honda, I think, and whatnot. Ford
and a few others. So yep. Anyway, yeah, it's a great company. So what else? What else you got coming for 2022?
I know Works, SRA, Moran, and there's a new series out of Utah, and I was talking to them. We might have them on as a guest. It's a brand new series. Umora, Utah Motorcycle Off-Road Racing Association, and their first event is actually a week and a half away in Mesquite, and it's a GP. If we can pull things together, I might hit that.
Cool.
But I was talking to the one guy, emailing back and forth, and they have a bunch of guys from Utah that are from a bunch of different clubs and organizations that have come together, and they're actually going to host one or two of the National Hare and Hounds. Anyway, we'd like to get them on the show and hear their story. They're new.
Yeah.
Don't know a whole lot about them.
Kicking off with a bang.
But you can look for them on social media, UMORRA, Umora. And they're on Instagram. I'm not sure about Facebook, but anyway, seems kind of cool. Seems like they're all put together. And then try to throw in whatever. I'm debating Best in Desert this weekend if I had a teammate. Or is it this weekend? The 8th, yeah.
Yeah.
Saturday down in Parker. Probably not going to happen. I think I have a cold coming on. thinking about Legacy, it just all depends what we put together.
Cool.
I know there were some big changes in our local organization this year with some rule changes. It was voted to do away with the AMA in our organization. Some people love it. Some people hate it. It goes both ways. Moran was built without it and went for 40-something years without it. I think they've done it the last 10 years. Going to give it a try, I guess. See what happens.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that, you know, of Moran breaking off and just doing their own thing again for a little while. Nothing against the AMA. I understand that they fight for land use and that kind of thing, and we do need that. But at the same time, Moran also does those things locally on a local level, and I feel like money better spent locally with our own organization, working with our local BLM and working with our local offices to keep those use permits and the land open. So I support that, and I think we just need to rally around and make sure that we can keep those lands in use for years to come for our kids and stuff. So there's that. And then what else? They voted for a throwaway race.
They have a throwaway race.
That was up for debate. And the thought was, well, if we do a throwaway, then somebody can skip, you know, say the furthest round, maybe the Ely round or something, or one of the other rounds that's during the heat of the summer or something like that. And that it would affect the entry for those, you know, couple rounds that would get hit the hardest. But I guess they passed the throwaway with the caveat that you've got to pay entry to all the races, even the one that you're going to skip. So again, personally, I think, you know, in a series that has 8 or 9 plus races, sometimes 10, 11, you know, that's a lot of races in a year. Anything can happen. There's conflicts, there's injuries, there's bike problems. So I'm a fan. I think, you know, it keeps somebody in the points hunt that maybe has a bad round 4 or 5 and otherwise might not race the rest of the series because they were going for a championship and now they're out of the championship, right? So I think the throwaway is wise. I think it's a good move. I lost the championship in 2019, I think it was, due to a shoulder separation where I would have had time to let it heal could I have missed one round. So I, you know, ended up losing a championship due to that. But I'm a fan of it. I understand it takes a lot of work and you should go to every round that you can. But, you know, at the same time, we're spending a ton of money, putting in a huge effort to make it to 9 or 10 races. And if you have a mechanical or an injury, you know, one throwaway would be pretty nice. So that's my opinion.
Yep. I know there is still going to be one Moran round that is a National Hare and Hound event in Panaca that if you don't have a AMA card, you'll still have to buy a day card or something like that. I still renew my AMA card.
Even if you're only racing the Moran portion? Or
I believe so. I think you, and more details will come, but I believe you still have to do a day AMA card to race that race.
Interesting.
So, Silver State Trailblazers are doing 2 races. One of them is going to be the Hare and Hound, and then they're doing a different round, April 2nd, I think, round 2, and then Ground Shakers is round 3, April 23rd. Round 1 is the Gamblers, and is it this weekend or next weekend?
The Moran GP series is no longer.
No, right. GPs.
Okay, so it's just a desert series and then the
night series.
Yeah, night series.
There's a lot of people that need the GP back. I love the GPs, but you have to have a minimum of 4 rounds, so
yeah.
Maybe in the future we can work on that. I'm for them. The Ground Shakers would do a GP and they would do a desert race, and our GP race would pretty much make the money and fund our desert expenses. That's why I like them. And you get a whole different clientele of people too.
You've put on races for a long time. So is putting on a GP, is it a lot cheaper for the club to host a GP as opposed to a desert race? Or
It depends on your location and the agreement you make with the location. A lot of times we have to rent or pay the track, and it just depends on what kind of agreement you get with them. I know it's easier on the club. You know, you out there, it's 10 miles or less is what the GP course is. So you're not out there for hours and hours marking 60 miles a course. It's 8 to 10 miles.
Right. So what's the date of the Ground Shakers Desert Race this year?
April 23rd. And it's it's kind of, we'll call it Kalani, but it's on the other side of Kalani Summit. And I was supposed to go out there the last couple weekends and scout. We've already got our permit turned in. But we've had some cold, cold weather and a lot of snow.
It's been cold and wet.
I know it was negative 16.2 a couple days ago at my office. I'm over it. Foot of snow.
Yeah.
I think that's about it on our future plans. Or, you know, we want to do some kind of a trail ride maybe later this year, and we'll talk about that and go through the right routes. And it was our buddies that showed up the other day. It was fun.
Yeah, so we're still kicking the idea of doing a trail ride. And as we do that, we'll get permits and do what we need to do to make it happen. But definitely is going to be a good time. So we found some stuff last year that we would like to use, and that was really good stuff, and just, you know, enjoying our backyard.
Yep. Bunch of friends out having fun on the weekend.
Yep.
On speaking of trail rides, the Nevada 200 trail ride's coming up in April as well. Second weekend, I think.
Yeah, I believe so. You can go to their website and check it out. But yeah, the Nevada 200 trail ride is an awesome, awesome event.
Yeah, if you haven't done that, I know it's a little expensive, but it's 3-day rides. It's
meals included.
Meals. Camping. Just the people that show up is just, it's one of the best events I've been involved with, and I usually help Scott Harden and company. But this year, I am debating, because it falls on the works round, but I'm debating throwing that works round away and helping Scott. I haven't talked to Scott yet. I know he's been
training. And if not, I'll be there. Yeah. I talked to Scott, and he's planning on having us come and help. So, yeah, you guys should check that out if you haven't been. It's a really cool event. Like I said, meals included, 3 days of single track, or just epic riding.
And there's usually some celebrity riders that show up. They are saying Skylar Howes is going to be there.
Yep. Last year we had Grant Langston.
Yeah.
Jack Johnson, some other.
Yeah, just
Rodney Smith, a bunch of other cool guys. So anyway, it's a great event, great time.
Heck yeah! So the year is underway.
Yeah, and then Supercross is kicking off in a week. This weekend, huh?
Yeah, this Saturday.
So
A1.
Anaheim 1, baby. Who you got for Anaheim 1?
I haven't even picked yet.
Well, pick it right here, live.
God, I don't
who
know.
You going with?
I don't know. Have to look. I don't even know who's racing.
Roxon, Webb, Tomac, Luscan.
Everybody's on new bikes. They've changed up.
Delombre.
Yeah.
Who else?
Dean Wilson, is he right?
Wilson, yeah. Wilson. You're gonna have.
Is Bubba?
No, you're gonna have Adam Cincirillo.
Go do your research and
anyway. Pick. Just put it on the record. I got Cooper Webb winning it. Anaheim 1. 2022.
You heard it here. Cooper Webb.
That's it.
We'll tag Cooper in this and
got to keep them KTM boys ripping.
Yeah. So on that note, Rocky Mountain ATV motorcycle does a fantasy Supercross every year, and you could go in there and create a group. So we have created a group. Last I checked, I think there's 27 in our group, 25.
Wow, it grew. I saw it at 20.
Anyways, so go join our group. And we did it last year. And at the end of the year, we threw together the Desert Dirt Biker Podcast little gift.
Prize pack.
Prize pack. Josh, Tom, I think, got it, which I saw he signed up in our group this year. So he's back for redemption. Anyways, go to the Rocky Mountain Fantasy site, and you could get there through their website, the Rocky Mountain.
Just Google RM ATV Fantasy.
Yeah.
RM ATV Fantasy.
Go to the groups, search groups, the Desert Dirt Biker Podcast, and the password is Dirt Biker, capital D, capital B, and it joins our group, and then you're ranked within our group.
Dirt Biker, one word. Yes. With a capital D, capital B.
Yep.
Yeah, go join us, and there's a little comment section where you can
talk your smack.
Do a little bench racing. I was calling Corndog out on there.
Right.
I think I actually Corndog commented on it, and so then I went and commented on on his.
I didn't even see that.
And then somehow, I don't know what I did. I bumped something, and it said, "You have reported this post." So I reported your comment as offensive. Somehow.
I haven't even seen that yet.
I think they erased your comment because I accidentally bumped it as offensive. So that was pretty funny.
I didn't see that. That's why I'll have to go look.
Anyway, yeah, join us on Fantasy. It's a good time. And gives you a whole nother enjoyment while you're watching the races. So.
Dakar is going on too. We haven't talked about Dakar.
Yeah, so one of my favorite pastimes for the new year is the Dakar Rally. So they kicked off on January 1. I think all the teams flew over there. The American guys fly over there like Christmas Day, and then they start getting ready for the rally, and then it kicks off January 1 through the 14th of January. So it's full swing right now. I think they had stage 3 this morning or last night, and
they're getting ready to start
stage 4 now. Exactly. So we had some highlights there. Mason Klein, young up and coming kid out of California that used a GoFundMe to get there.
And yeah, they had a big Happy Dave did a big thing for him, my teammate from the Mint, and I don't know what happened. I missed it. I was going to go, but I missed it. So I missed out meeting him, but he's
killing it, man. He's running third or fourth overall right now in points. And he's
young.
Finished two stages in the top 5, I think, right now. So he's doing really well. He kind of has been mentored by Skylar Howes. Skylar's kind of been showing him the ropes, and the kid's the real deal, man. He can ride and he can navigate. And when a lot of the other riders ended up getting lost on that stage 1 or 2, I can't remember. I think it was stage one.
I think one.
And they all got lost for like over an hour or 45 minutes to an hour. And he stuck to his guns on navigation, stuck to his own riding, and it paid off. So he's up there. And then I think Skylar right now, I think he's in somewhere around 10th overall. Had a good stage at stage 3, and Ricky Brabeck and
Andrew Short,
they both got lost on that day 1 and lost like 45 minutes to an hour, and so they're clawing back trying to make up time. So they're riding well but making up a bunch of time. But anyway, that's cool. And then in the cars are my good buddy and guest of the show,
local boy,
past local boy, Kellen Walsh, got a last minute call with Red Bull, the OT3 cars, and he's navigating for one of their drivers down there.
Yeah, so they didn't pass the COVID restrictions or something like that, so they called him last minute.
Yeah,
this is his 10th Dakar.
10th Dakar. He had, I think, his 7th stage win in stage 3 this year. So they got a stage win last night. Pretty cool.
We've had Kellen on our show, one of our podcasts in the beginning.
Yeah, go listen to it. It was a really good show. But Kellen's got a very decorated history and in the off-road world, and is a great dude.
Yeah. A year ago this time, he was laying in the hospital bed. He crashed his bike out riding with his kid.
Yeah, he's gnarly for sure, man. He's had some big ones, but always comes back strong and just good guy.
So we got, what, 8 more days of Dakar left, so kind of cool to watch.
Yeah, when we're done here, I'm going to jump on and catch some more highlights of
round
3. I didn't get day 3 or all the updates from 3, so I'm going to go watch that before I go to bed, and then usually I wake up and check to see just a quick standing report before I go to work. But
yeah. Cool. Well, I think we've touched on a lot. Not a super long show, but it's going to turn out long. I know when we first came on, we should have told you our guests we're having on tonight. So that'll play here in a minute. But these guys, you got CJ, Tom, and Felix. They showed up. Well, you'll hear their story, but they raced the Mint 400 on a little Coleman mini bike and won their class.
Dude, what do you think that ride was like? That has got to be the most awful thing. I mean, I'm sure it was epic. No question, they had an epic time. 10 hours on a Coleman mini bike. It reminds me of Dumb and Dumber riding across the country on a freaking mini bike, dude.
We like, call them that.
And these guys just going for it, man, and super epic. Great idea. Love it. But it's crazy, man. Like,
we're going to get them on the phone here. And they're all over the country. The three guys, teammates, CJ, he lives in Tennessee. Tom is in Chicago, Illinois. And Felix is up in
Oregon.
Yeah. So we got them all on the line. We're going to attempt to put them all on the line. Hopefully that works out. We haven't had 3 phone call guests all at once before. So hopefully that works out and hear their story. And I can't wait. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways, on that note, we'll take a little break, set some things up, and get them on the phone.
All right, guys. Peace out. Happy 2020. Check us out at the Desert Dirt Biker on our social media.
And Facebook, Katie Eric. And email us. We're back.
We're back.
Yeah. Hopefully we get back in the routine of things. Just life, man.
Yeah, no, 2022 is going to be a good year. Got some stuff in the works, and Corn Dog's got stuff in the works. Can we talk about the new edition?
Yeah.
Okay, real quick before we cut out. I know we said we were done, but so Corn Dog just pulled the trigger on a brand new moto van. So yeah. Proud owner of a new Ford
Transit. It's not exactly the one I wanted, but I think Amazon's bought them all. So it's the medium roof, medium length. But it's me and my dog and my bike and my bicycles, and the build begins.
Yeah, so maybe we'll talk about the moto van build here on the podcast in the future once he gets that fired off and gets it going, and talk about what he's doing with it. And super excited for that. And who knows, maybe
get it wrapped on the outside with maybe podcast.
Maybe Holt 161 might be looking at one too. So
yeah, yeah. Holt Racing needs one.
We need one.
But you need like,
honestly,
10 rows of seats, honestly, and a bike pack.
It's like the ticket for Baja. You know, having everything packaged in, closed in, safe, confined. So yeah, that'll be nice. Yeah, I would need one with like 8 seats and so I can tote the girls around a little bit.
Right.
See what we can do.
I flew to Ontario, California to get it.
Nice.
$31 for a plane ticket, Vegas to Ontario.
No way.
Yeah.
Wow.
$26 plus tax.
Wow.
But they wanted $60 for a carry-on, so I was just going to sign papers and drive it home, so I didn't take nothing.
The carry-on's more than the plane ticket.
Yeah.
And your lunch that day, huh?
Right.
Well, cool, man. Again, thanks everybody for tuning in, and stay tuned here. We're going to get these Coleman 200, CE 200 XT or whatever the heck it was. Yeah. Get those boys on the phone.
Yep. All right, guys. We'll see you at the races.
Here we go. All right, guys. We got CJ, Tom, and Felix on the line.
They, how's it going?
They raced the Mint 400 on a little mini bike, and we thought it would be great to have them on the show, tell their story, why, how come, what inspired all this. So welcome, guys.
Thanks. It was a Coleman mini bike that we were on.
Yeah.
CT200EX.
That's crazy. Well, you guys are all spread over the country. We got all three of you online. CJ's in Tennessee. Tom is in Chicago. And Felix is in Oregon. So kind of a cool thing. So I guess who wants to start and tell us how this inspired and why and how?
All right, I'll give you a little background. Last race, we were racing a Yamaha UTV, and Tom was in the passenger seat. We flipped 6.5 times. And basically, with the pandemic and everything going crazy, we haven't fixed the car yet. So forward on to Tom. This was Tom's idea.
Yeah, so I figured that we had to show up, and we weren't going to be the people to just do it once and wreck and walk away from it and never really get back into it. So it was important for us to get back in, keep racing, and just show up. And so we're looking at the different classes that we get into, and realized that the 194cc Coleman mini bike qualified for the 200cc motorcycle class. And CJ and I and Felix have all ridden that Coleman mini bike over 100 miles in rough terrain, and we're pretty accustomed to it, and we know we can do it, and so we figured that, well, we may as well.
That's hilarious.
So, we saw an opportunity to possibly podium, is what our thought process was, because we looked and we found out there was no one else registered for that class for this race for some reason. I guess because it being an off race in December and not the regular March race. But we totally took advantage of that to hopefully podium. It turns out we were the only ones in class and actually finished first.
Yeah. Oh, and no problems with the bike.
Finish last and out of the whole field.
Yeah.
What was that?
He said the best part was that not only did we finish first in our class, but we didn't finish last for the entire race. There was, I don't know how many handfuls of bikes coming in behind us.
Right. Yeah, that was fun. I know you guys were right behind us at the podium, my team.
Yeah.
That's where we all kind of met.
Now, did you guys race that last year, that class?
No, this was my first Mint.
Okay. There was another rider right in front of us that had actually raced that class the previous year, and he had just moved up. And so if he was still racing that class, he would have bumped us out.
Oh, wow. Crazy. So no problems with the bike the whole time? I mean...
Amazingly, we fully expected it to break. And like I even told Felix one time he went out on his turn. I mean, if the bike breaks, pick up whatever piece has the banded tech sticker on it and carry it, and we'll rebuild it when you get to the pit. And I don't care if you have to walk 10 miles. And surprisingly, we brought a bike for each pit so that we know we would have any part that we needed. And the bike made the whole time. We didn't have any problems other than a chain falling off. And so I just adjusted the chain. And I even used the tools that came with the bike to adjust the chain. And that was the only problem we had.
That's crazy. That's classic. How about gas? Did you have to carry extra gas, or did it go from pit to pit?
Well, now, about that situation, So I guess there was a lot of problems with people running out of fuel, from what I understand, on all the bikes. I did the first leg, and I came into the pits on fumes. Wow. And we basically just got lucky. And so we kind of gave Tom a little extra supply of fuel and sent him out for the second half of the first lap, which turns out it was much longer, and he actually had to borrow some gas to finish that lap.
Yeah. There were some other that needed help, and we were able to figure that one out. So we got pretty lucky there.
Right. Now, all three of you rode, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, we switched off at each pit.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty much what we did. I know you guys started, I don't know what row you guys started on, but started in front of me.
And yeah.
When we got to that first power line, I came up on you guys and I was like, what the heck is this? I thought there was a spectator or a course worker. I was like, what the heck? I was getting a little pissed off. And then I get up next to you to pass and you got a number plate. And I'm like, oh, cool.
So I may have that on video, just saying.
Okay. It was, you know, when we started and we had all that speed zone, and I think it was that first power line road.
Yeah, so I was actually on Facebook Live during that because I was pretty much going as fast as I could go anyways. So no problems riding one hand on the dirt road, you know, 20 right. miles an hour or whatever we're doing.
That's why you were swerving from side to side.
Distracted driving.
That's hilarious. I guess I was going to leave this for last, but I'm thinking about it. Coleman, did they reach out to you after or before?
We work with Coleman a lot. With the Gambler 500, we do mini bike races and mini bike enduros. And believe it or not, they actually gave me that mini bike last year as a birthday gift for a raffle that I was doing for a SoCal event. They gave me one to do with a raffle, and then they gave me that one as a birthday gift. And I don't think they knew what we were going to do with it. We didn't know at the time. But since then, they've reached out, and we have some plans coming up.
That's awesome. That's so cool.
That bike had almost no miles on it when we took it out. Fairly, for the most part, unproven.
Yeah, I rode it around on Sturges a little bit at our event, and that was it. So it's done donuts inside of the bars in the Buffalo Chip, and it's raced around in the Buffalo Chip Stadium, and that's about it.
How's it running now?
It still runs good. I haven't done anything to it at all. I still ride it around the backyard.
Nice.
Yeah, my bike still got the mint all over it. I haven't washed it. What's that?
As far as mini bikes go, the Coleman's a pretty decent machine.
Yeah, you guys will probably sell a whole bunch of them now, or Coleman will, after what you guys have done.
Yeah, I assume so. I'm trying to press them for a UTV.
Yeah.
I just found out they have a 1,000 UTV that I didn't know about, so we're going to have to talk about that.
Oh, nice. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, we got some time.
Yeah.
But yeah, Felix, how tall are you?
6'2".
6'2", and he wrote it. No problem.
No issues.
That's funny.
Knees and elbows.
Just to throw it in there, just to let you know how unprepared we were, not only did we switch off bike at each pit, but we were actually switching helmets, boots, and chest protectors also.
Because of the helmet rule and all that, or just didn't?
Well, yeah, so we ran into that. I brought my race helmet, and turns out my race helmet from last year wasn't up to spec anymore, so we ended up having to rush. We pulled into a Cycle Gear like 7 minutes before they closed and bought the only helmet they had left that met the criteria.
Me and my brother were probably there right before you. And
yeah, he said he had sold out like 20 of them that night, and that was just one store of the three in the area.
Yep, that's where we went, Cycle Gear.
Yeah.
Oh, that's crazy. Yeah, we're going to talk about that later on in another part of our show.
Yeah, I guess some people weren't too happy about that. That was most of the complaints we heard from the other riders.
Yep. I guess tell us a little bit about where you guys came from. What brought you into racing? A little bit of background on you personally, I guess. I guess start with CJ.
All right. I have a picture somewhere buried deep in a photo album somewhere of me tipping my power wheels over sideways to replace the transmission. I think I was doomed from that point on. I used to race bikes when I was a little kid. I moved up to autocrossing, solo one and solo two road racing, before I had a driver's license. And I used to bet people money that I could race their own car faster than them. And I used to make some good money, in Cape Cod and Otis Air Force Base autocrossing.
And, wow.
From there, I did some small circle track, and then I moved to Florida. I got into dirt track racing a little bit, and a friend invited me out to Southern California to race with him, and we started, jumped right into Ultra 4 and Best in the Desert, and it's history since then.
Nice. Very cool. What about Felix? Where's your background come from?
So back in 2016, I saw a video on YouTube that was the initial start of the Gambler 500 and it like catching on nationwide. My son was 15 years old at the time and had his learner's permit, and I wanted him to be able to like open his horizons and kind of get an experience of like the outside world and whatnot. So me and him built a car for the OG Gambler 500 2017. And that was like essentially the start of my quote unquote racing career. And then me and him have been doing it together essentially ever since.
Tell us a little bit about what the Gambler 500 is.
Its grand scheme is designed around like forest upkeep, collecting trash and whatnot. There's a 503C that's associated with it called Sons of Smokey. But in the grand scheme of things, it is just essentially cheap and practical cars out on forest and gravel roads, hitting waypoints and just having a good time.
Nice. And is it 500 miles long? Is that what it is?
Ideally, I mean, there is no specific rules that are associated with it, but that's kind of like a general guideline. Okay. For an event, you know, 500 miles off-road, cheap car, collect trash, be a good person, don't be a dick.
Right. Well, cool. Very cool. And is it a race? I mean, do you race into the finish line?
That is not. They're considered navigational challenges, but there is also an offshoot called Hoopty Cross that we also compete in. That is like a nationwide circuit with points that are collected at every event and trophies at the end of the year and all that good stuff.
Very cool. Huh. All right. Well, Tom, what about you? And the first thing we got to ask is they say your name's Tom, but you go by Carl Jepsen. You got to tell us that story.
So when we got into last year's Mid 400, we're able to get Malort Liquor, which is the Swedish liqueur, Chicago-based drink that's more of a joke than anything else. It's a cross between like dandelions and grapefruit peel. It's some people have called it, it tastes like an Icelandic abortion clinic. It's pretty strong stuff. And we got them to sponsor us for race fees. And we sort of leaned into it. And so the original person that made the Malort is Carl Jepsen. And on the bottle it says Carl Jepsen's Malort. So we sort of decided to try and personify him as the racer of Malort Racing. So we currently race under Hapless Racing, Malort Racing, for a race team.
Okay.
It's something that everyone really should try. It's an experience.
He's lying.
It's one of those things that you're never going to forget.
We'll bring a bottle to the Mint and we'll hook up with you.
Absolutely. We'll bring more than one.
On that note, what future plans for you guys coming up? The Mint is in March this year. So you guys showing up on the Coleman?
Definitely. We can't pass up the opportunity to show up again. Everyone wants to see us. We've worked out a deal with Komen. They're going to supply a few bikes, I believe. Not set in stone yet, but they're going to work with us a little bit to have basically a Komen factory team. And we're going to do our best to show how reliable and tough these bikes can be. And if we can pull it off, we'd like to bring the UTV back or even prove a Komen UTV maybe.
Right. That's cool. So do you think somebody else is going to show up with a Komen to give you a run for your money?
So like I mentioned before, with the Gambler 500 and the mini bike enduros, we had probably 100 people there at the Mint that were mad at us for not telling them that we were going to do it, saying that they would have came in and raced with us. And we're like, yeah, well, that's why we didn't tell you. You have the means and you're crazy enough as well. So, yeah, I'm gonna guess if one of the Martelli brothers doesn't change the rules because of us, then there's going to be a huge field of mini bikes out there in March.
They're probably going to create your own class.
Possibly. So Matt Martelli said that we should wear clown masks if we're on mini bikes. So that way when the riders of the big bikes falling down or all broken and frustrated, then they can just see us tootling by them with a little clown mask because it'd be funny. So he doesn't seem too mad at us.
Right. Huh. Very cool.
I imagine there'd be regular, you know, two-stroke 125 bikes in that class normally. We just got lucky in this one shot.
Yeah, I wonder.
Lucky on the one-off, you're the dad, and God knows when.
Yeah. So how long did it take you guys to do, like, the first section and the second section?
Oh, I think I figured out that I averaged somewhere close to 18 to 20 miles per hour the first one. So I think I did the first leg in an hour.
Okay.
And then the second leg, Tom actually stopped to help some people that were broken down and ran out of fuel himself. He ended up doing the second leg in like 3 hours.
Yeah, that second one, that second loop was no joke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the second, yeah,
I probably stopped to help 5 or 6 people and helped to start one rider's bike. Probably took about 45 minutes of chasing behind him and restarting it when they broke down. So, helping people out in the race seems like the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
We also knew we weren't going for time anyway.
Yeah, we were probably the only people out there that it really didn't matter, that we just had to cross the finish line no matter how long it took.
Right. How, you guys did 2 laps?
Yeah,
2 laps.
I did the second leg the second time. I believe I did that in 2 hours. Felix did the first leg of the second lap, and I want to say he did like an hour and a half or something like that.
But a total of 2 laps total, right?
Yeah, 10 hours total.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I don't know if it's funny or amazing or badass or what, but
yeah, all of the above. I'm just happy we had a Grand Prix finish, because otherwise, we were planning on 3 or 4 laps.
Yeah, you would have been finishing at sunrise.
I mean, we were ready to go, but
oh yeah.
So, after it was all over, obviously it was an accomplishment. Got any kind of like celebrity status? I mean, what's it feel like?
Oh, man, it's just funny to see the reactions of everyone. Everyone from doubters to saying there's no way they did that to people saying, yeah, I could have done that myself. And it's just funny to see everyone's different reaction to us actually doing it. Some realize how big of a feat it was and some don't.
Yeah, I'm still laughing. Still got a smile on my face. I think it's awesome.
I think one of the biggest benefits was when we were walking off the podium. And like nobody had cheered for anybody more than they cheered. Everybody
right?
was giving us fist bumps as we were walking off the stage and whatnot. And that was like cool recognition.
Yeah. And you guys had a pretty good crowd with you, pit crews or whatever.
That's actually part of the Hoopticross race that he mentioned. Hoopticross was actually part of the Mint this year for the first time, and that will be back again too. But that's our whole, you know, Gambler family crew that that does the Gambler events and mini bike enduros and the Hoopty Cross, and they were there to support us, of course. They weren't happy that we didn't tell them that we were going to do it beforehand, but they were happy to see us finish.
So it was a secret to everybody.
Oh, yeah. We didn't tell anyone. In fact, when we were doing contingency, we actually brought the broken YXZ so that we could push the mini bike down contingency line alongside the mini bike so people would just assume that it was a pit bike and kind of slipped it past everyone. Because we knew even the night before would be just enough time for someone to grab their bike and register.
Right, right. Yeah, you guys had it all planned out.
Kind of, it really just fell together. Worked out pretty well. It was Tom's idea that we all came together and made happen.
Well, you guys have made history and I don't know, made everybody smile, I think.
Time this year at the Mint, try signing up for the Hoopty X. And just bring something out and go hit the dirt track in some downtime.
Yeah, it's a run what you brung kind of thing. The crazier, the better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds fun. For sure.
Or get you a Coleman mini bike, of course.
We don't need that competition.
Yeah, I'm thinking, as far as I know, I haven't done the research on it, but I've asked a few people, and as far as I know, this is the first pull start mini bike that's ever even raced the Mint 400, never mind finished and won class.
Yeah, right? I was looking around at some other races, and I haven't found any mention of a pull start bike doing anything like this. I'm sure it has, but it takes some time to figure it out.
I mean, I don't know if anyone would be crazy enough to do it, but now that we have, I'm sure other people will follow suit.
Have you guys got any
attempts on a mini bike?
Have you guys got any haters, like any backlash giving you a hard time about it?
You know, not really. I assumed right off the bat, being in the racing community, sometimes I know how competitive it gets, and I tried to stay out of the way. We had talked about like putting a flag on the bike or whatever, because we figured we were going to be a lot slower. And I thought there would be a lot of people upset or mad that we were in their way or trying to blame us for them falling or something. I think the course being so rugged this year actually worked to our advantage because it slowed down everybody else. But either way, it was nothing but, you know, high fives and thumbs up and everyone yelling, yeah, awesome, as we go by. Let's course workers and other riders and everything. There's nothing but support.
That's cool.
Whether they thought it was innovative or just hilarious, it didn't seem like anybody hated the idea.
I'll have to go back and look at my GoPro. I had just bought it like right before the Mint, so I don't know how to work it very well. But when I passed you the first time on the first section, I'm sure it's on there. So I'll have to go back and look for that.
Yeah, I'll check my live video too. I might even have you going past me.
Cool.
Well, the Baja 1000's in November, boys.
Yeah, I think we're going to need a few more bikes.
Your gas can.
We're thinking about like Parker 250 or something like that too. Might as well infiltrate.
Right.
I don't know how best in the desert will feel about tech.
One of the funniest things too, when we were all standing around waiting to go on the podium, when my brother first saw you guys, he's like, man, look how big that gas tank is. I wonder if they had enough gas. And then one of you guys lifted it up. It's like a trunk.
Yeah.
The gas tank is down on the motor.
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
I mean, they do get excellent gas mileage, but that was just all soft sand and silt and rugged, so we just burned through all of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Well, cool, guys. Got anything else you want to throw out there? I know CJ, you're getting ready to have a baby, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, due possibly any day now, as far as I know. Oh. Official due date in like 2.5 weeks, but could be any time now.
Wow.
So he's already starting off life with a championship winning motorcycle. Can't go wrong.
Right. That's very cool. Well, you guys got anything else you want to throw out there? Eric, you have anything?
No, just thank you guys for coming on, and great story, great event, and appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, excellent. I'm having fun with the podcast and all the attention, and I'm just glad you guys recognize that our story is cool enough to tell. And the more people you can tell, the easier it'll be for us to keep racing.
Cool. Yep. Yep. Well, have you already registered and signed up for the Mint in March, or?
We're working on pending funds for that. We're a poor team.
Right. Very cool. Yeah, I got signed up last week, and so you'll have to look us up. And I'm close by here. We're only a couple hours from Vegas. So if you guys need anything or whatever, reach out.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Yeah, we'll be far from home once we get there.
Yeah, if you need anything, I mean, Vegas is my hometown, so awesome. I don't live there now, but
yeah,
if you need anything, let me know.
Appreciate that.
Awesome. Appreciate it. We're going to get signed up as soon as we can figure out who's going to pay for it.
Tom is. He was the last one on the phone.
Excellent. He paid for the last
Tom
one.
Tom Dweener.
All right, guys. Well, we're going to.
So that's not fair.
What's that?
I said he paid for the last one, though, so that's not fair.
Right.
Well, we might as well keep tradition going.
All right. There's...
Well, maybe we'll do some kind of a raffle or fund or something if you guys need any help or something.
Awesome. Yeah, we're working on trying to get the UTV back together now, which we don't have enough money for, but we'll definitely be back with mini bikes at very least.
Cool. Right on. Well, again, reach out to us, listen to the podcast, and thanks for coming on the show.
Definitely. Thank you for having us.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
See you guys.
See you later.
You too.
Thank you. Right. Take care.
All right, we're going to close this thing up. Man, thanks to CJ, Tom, and Felix for joining us. And what a story. Can't wait to see what that turns into. The Mint 400 Coleman mini bike class.
Yeah, for sure. Those guys are epic. So thank you guys for coming on the show. Great story, and best of luck in 2022.
Yep. Check us out on social media and Facebook, whatnot, and see you at the races.
Catch you on the next one. Later.
Thank you for listening to the Desert Dirt Biker. Make sure you tune in next time.